Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches. And that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is funded by listeners like you. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about the program, please go to our website at thefinalwordradio.com. There you'll find archives so you can listen to any program you may have missed. Visit us on our social media platforms at The Final Word Radio and write us a note. We love hearing from our listeners. We'll provide other contact information at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. And now Jim Andrews continues his current study of God's Word.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us again on The Final Word. Before I launch today's exposition, I want to make our listening audience aware of some articles that I have written. If you will go to jimandrewsbooks.com, that's one word, jimandrewsbooks.com, you will find there information describing the books I have authored. On top of that, on the same website, you'll see a tab that says Articles. If you will open that with your cursor, you will discover there are some articles that I've produced over the years that you may find interesting and helpful. For example, one of the most recent articles was my take on the demise of the culture wars and where I think we ought to go from here. Another article that appeared several years ago in a journal for biblical manhood and womanhood is entitled Boundaries Without Bonds. Another is a rebuttal of a tract that appeared several years back. The author attempted cleverly, but as I will show unsuccessfully, to persuade us that the scriptures do not condemn homosexual practice. After all, that has all been a misunderstanding. Well, there will be others, but I mentioned those three. I'm not a regular blogger, but when sometimes things pop up on my radar that I feel I would like to address in a thoughtful way, I will sometimes produce a longer article like some of these. So I'm just happy to share them with you for whatever benefit they may have. We continue with our topical series on Marriage Without Remorse, Bringing Your B-Game, as in B-E. Our last study was Be Physically Responsible. Today, we're going to talk about Be Forgiving. One of the components of that is to learn to be forgiving. But what does be forgiving involve? Well, we need to talk about that because sometimes people don't understand what all is entailed. When we say be forgiving, we're going to have to forgive one another. We're all imperfect people. None of us are new furniture. We're all damaged goods. We're going to say things, do things in times of stress, which we will regret. There comes that time when all of the cooing and the caressing lets up a bit, lets up a lot, and we're down to being our normal selves. And our wife walks by, and we don't go, wow, is she a stunner? The husband walks by, oh, he is so handsome. No, he doesn't look like he used to look, and she doesn't look like she used to look. But somehow we're still very, very tight, and we're the best of friends. But in the best of relationships, we get to those points where we start taking one another for granted. Or whatever the reason, we do or say things that require forgiveness. May not be huge, may not be anything scandalous, but it's something that is hurtful. So we need to maintain a spirit. And I'll put the accent of that on that word, a spirit of forgiveness, unconditionally. So accentuate those two words. Maintain a spirit of forgiveness unconditionally. Now, here's what I mean. Elect, decide to ignore rather than gore the offender being your husband or your wife. You can make that choice. You don't have to go into that mode that every time somebody pinches you a little, every time your feelings get danced on a little bit, that you have to rise up and strike back. Elect to ignore rather than gore the offender. That's a spirit. You just carry that mind into your marriage. Now, you're fallen, I'm fallen. It won't always work out that way. But that is your intent. And most of the time, you manage to keep up with your intent. So you make up your mind, I'm talking about a spirit of forgiveness, you make up your mind that in this relationship, I'm going to adopt a policy of ignoring rather than goring my husband or my wife when they offend me. It means something else, to maintain a spirit of forgiveness unconditionally. I'm going to seek to keep peace rather than make war. That's what I want to do. I want to keep the peace. I'm going to try to keep the peace. I resolve to keep the peace, rather than upon every occasion of offense, breaking out and making war. A spirit of forgiveness means that I will try to overlook offenses, rather than react to offenses. A spirit of forgiveness means that I resolve to return good for evil rather than evil for good. Now, this is what is meant when the Scripture says that God is a God of forgiveness. Back in Nehemiah 9:17, Nehemiah speaks of the Lord, "Thou art a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness." That's what he meant, that God was of that spirit, and so should we be. So that is the spirit of forgiveness unconditionally. In our spirit, we elect to ignore rather than gore the offender. We seek to keep the peace rather than make war. We try to overlook offenses rather than react to them. We determine, God helping us by grace, we will return good for evil rather than evil for good. We perform the act of forgiveness provisionally. We maintain a spirit of forgiveness unconditionally, but we perform the act of forgiveness provisionally. In Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 4, Jesus told his disciples, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins," and he's talking about sinning against you, "rebuke him. Tell him about it. Say, you know, dear brother, you may not have meant that. I don't know. Or dear sister or wife, I don't know. But, you know, that kind of hurt me. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day, and yet they turn to you and say, you know, I'm sorry, I repent, forgive him." When we say being forgiving involves a spirit of forgiveness unconditionally, it involves an act of forgiveness provisionally. As with God, this step, the act of forgiveness, depends on acknowledgement of wrongdoing. The injured party functionally drops all charges. When somebody says, "Honey, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I did the wrong thing. I was selfish," or whatever. Forgive them. When they ask for forgiveness, they acknowledge that they've done wrong, then forgive them. The injured party functionally in that case drops all charges when the other party admits what they've done. The injured party offers reconciliation relationally and says, "That's okay, honey. We're good. We're fine. We all make mistakes. We all are flesh. We all step over some boundaries. I forgive you." Now, let me talk about why a spirit of forgiveness unconditionally is a must. And nowhere is it more essential than in marriage. First of all, bitterness is injurious to your health. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A tranquil life, a peaceful heart, is life to the body. But passion, bitter passion, is rottenness to the bones." It works you over physically, emotionally, psychologically. But a joyful heart is good medicine for the whole body. Proverbs 17:22. When you let that bitterness just sit down there, soak and sour, and you're not ready, you don't have that spirit of forgiveness in your being, then you're setting yourself up, not just your marriage, but you're setting yourself up for big problems. Bitterness is a liability in your work. It makes a poison-driven rather than a vision-driven life. In Esau, we remember the writer to the book of Hebrews speaking of him as having within himself a root of bitterness. The same thing with Ahithophel in the Old Testament, bitter at David, and it led to his suicide when he saw things were not going his way. Bitterness is a liability in our work. It's a liability in our marriage. It makes our life in that venue poison-driven rather than vision-driven. An implacable spirit also represents a barrier to God's forgiveness. In Matthew 6, verses 14 through 15, Jesus said, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive, then your heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions." Now, again, folks, the forgiveness we're talking about is a forgiveness that leads to reconciliation, where somebody, we have a spirit of forgiveness, we're ready. The spirit of forgiveness, we elect to ignore rather than gore the offender. We try to keep the peace rather than make war. We try to overlook offenses rather than react to them. We try to return good for evil rather than evil for good. But the act of forgiveness is provisional. It depends on somebody coming to us and say, I'm sorry, I did the wrong thing. I should never have done that. Would you please forgive me? Now, in a context like that, if we claim to know the Lord, then we've got to respond. Jesus said, if you forgive men their transgressions, I repeat, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive, you say, oh, no way, buddy. You hurt me real bad. I'll be dogged if I'm going to forgive you. And you claim to be a Christian? My dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ came and died for you. There is no way your wife or your husband can ever do you the wrong, ever. If you live for 50 years of marriage, 55, 60 years of marriage, 65, there's no way that the accumulated wrong they might have done you will ever amount to what you've done to God. And yet he sent his Son into the world to die for my sins and to die for your sins, so that a holy and just God might forgive us and put all those things behind us. And if we turn around and we say to others, well, God may have forgiven me, but I'm not going to forgive you. You just hurt me too bad. You did me too much wrong. So don't come in here begging for my forgiveness. I'm not going to give it. Folks, I'm not talking about those places where people leave us sliced and diced and left for dead and they never come in and they never acknowledge wrong, they never repent. Even there, we must have a spirit of forgiveness that is always ready when people do that, just as God is always ready. Just as people need to repent before God and he will forgive, so people need to repent in our cases and come in and say, I'm sorry, I really did you wrong. I owe you a debt. I am sorry. In those cases, we need to step up and be reconciled and say, you are forgiven. Thank you. Yes, you did do me wrong, but I've done a lot of wrong too. The Lord forgave me. How can I not forgive you? When you ask for forgiveness, if the Lord forgave me, when I ask for forgiveness in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, won't forgive his brother. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, it's impossible for that person to love God whom he has not seen. There are not two conditions of salvation, faith and forgiveness. But the unwillingness to forgive indicates a lack of a newborn heart, indicates a lack of anything that amounts to a living faith. So you just remember that in your marriage. You just can't go around carrying these seeds of bitterness and nurturing them, feeding them like noxious weeds. If you will forgive men their trespasses, rest assured your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you have a bitter and toxic heart, hardened against anybody who comes to you, husband or wife, and says, I did you wrong, I am so sorry, and you will not forgive and say, no, that just hurt too bad. You just did me so much wrong and for so long, and there's no way I'm forgiving you. Then remember what that says about you. Remember what that says about the condition of your heart. Then your heavenly Father, just rest assured, will not forgive your transgressions. Not because there are two conditions of salvation, but because this unmet condition says something about the hollowness of the faith that we profess. So let me talk a minute about how we can maintain a spirit of forgiveness. The act of forgiveness depends upon a petition for forgiveness. But how we can maintain a spirit of forgiveness? My advice is this. First of all, pray for grace. The writer to the Hebrews tells us in chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, because he's there to hear us, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Some things are very heavy in a marriage, and very hard to get over. Sure, I understand that, but pray for grace to do that. I knew a lady one time whose husband had been very unfaithful to her. I've known a lot of cases like that, but this particular one stands out. And she was deeply wounded, and she felt he was selfish and he was narcissistic and a lot of other vices in the mix. But when it all came to light that he had been an adulterer, he did not want to leave her, did not want to leave the children. He professed to be a Christian, he wanted to mend his ways, he wanted to save his marriage, he wanted, from all I could see, to be the husband to his wife and to be the father to his children, all beautiful children that he was supposed to be. And so far as I could see from the outside, and of course only the Spirit of God can see the inside, he was making a true legitimate effort to be all of that. But on her side, there was no, so far as I could see, praying for grace. Certainly it would have taken grace. She was a very proud woman. And hey, a lot of us are proud. in this way, but I would say she was extraordinarily so. The fact that he would do her this way, even though he repented in sackcloth and ashes, you know, he did the whole bit. And she professed to have forgiven him, but obviously her game was just to punish him for the rest of his days. You're not going to get there like that by just showing him how much I've forgiven you, but doggone it, I am still so mad at you. And just in this way and that way, deny everything they do in order to try to make amends and to put other constructions on them other than the best construction. Now, what the realities were in that relationship, honestly, I can't be sure. God knows, I can't. But I'll tell you this. If we're going to maintain a spirit of forgiveness, we're human, we need to pray. Need to pray always for God's grace. I've not been in a marital situation like that, but I've certainly been in other situations like that that I believe were just as hurtful as that could be, just as painful. And the only way that I've gotten through them is starting right here, praying for grace. That grace did not appear to come immediately. I would pray for grace and pray for grace, and it seemed to keep me from sinking any further, but I was not over the problem. The problem would continue, but in time, gradually, the grace of God just kind of wore the problem down like a grinder and minimized it, and I got over it. And so we need to do in these situations. To maintain a spirit of forgiveness, just pray at all times for grace. By a spirit of forgiveness, to put it in the shortest possible language, a spirit that wants to forgive, that is ready to forgive, wants peace, not war. A spirit that wants to make the best of it, not the worst of it. And meditate on God's word. My friends, I cannot emphasize that enough. Again, I don't care whether it's in the workplace or whether it's in school or whether it's in marriage or whatever it is, it's the same principles. When everything seems to be going down, we're hurt, we feel like we're getting punished unjustly, whatever it is, just get in God's word and meditate there. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 10 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure, or a young woman? By keeping it according to thy word. With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandments." Psalm 119 has a lot of verses like that, verse 104 and 105. Just keep in God's word. That'll keep you mellow. That'll keep the heart soft. Take counsel with godly servants. I don't say take counsel with anybody. I know a lot of people, when marriages are going bad, they take counsel with exactly the wrong people. Here is a woman, for example, who's thinking about, she's dissatisfied with her marriage. She's mad at her husband. Really, she's kind of looking for an excuse to dump him rather than honor her marriage vows. Well, she'll go out. I have one specifically in mind that comes to memory. And she'll go out and start speaking with a bunch of bar-hopping, cigarette-smoking, gravel-girdy type of ladies who have a big mad on about men. They have just come to that point in life where they, through their circumstance, whatever it is, they're man-haters. "I'll tell you what I do, and this is what I did," you know, that kind of thing. That's not the kind of person to take counsel from. Those kinds are losers. And the last person you want to listen to is a certified loser. But take counsel with godly servants. Go out and find somebody that you know has a heart for God and will more likely speak the wisdom of God through the Spirit into your life than somebody who's going to speak the wisdom of the world. Here's another thing to do. Talking about how we can maintain a spirit of forgiveness, watch those who don't have it. Go out there and look at bitter, angry people. People who they've been hurt, life has taken bites out of them along the way. Be warned. These are the kind, you know, who go postal. Ask yourself, if I keep on in this mode and I don't have a spirit of forgiveness, that's what I'm going to look like 10 years from now, or maybe sooner. Look at bitter, angry people and be warned and say, there I do not want to go. Also, consider the example of God's forgiveness. Never overlook what God has done for us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other as God in Christ has forgiven you." We've already mentioned this. And go back and ask yourself, look, yeah, I'm hurt, I'm wounded, I'm beat up. Life has chewed me up and spit me out. I mean, maybe it has. I'm taking extreme cases. I'm married, I'm not treated right. This husband is not a good husband. And that may be a bald fact. But then consider the example of God's forgiveness. If they come and ask you for forgiveness, and it appears to be honest and sincere, then you remember how much God has forgiven you of in Christ, and ask if you can, with a straight face, be less forgiving than He is, and seek the occasion to prove your identity. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 2, "By this we know we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments," like forgiving those who ask to be forgiven. "For this is the love of God." This is what it looks like, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So love is doing what God says. That's what it looks like in action. And in that way, we prove our identity. How do we know when we possess a spirit of forgiveness? As I say, the act of forgiveness is provisional. It depends on people asking for forgiveness. But we know that we have a spirit of forgiveness, a spirit that wants reconciliation, a spirit that wants to live in peace and harmony, a spirit that wants peace and not war. Well, we know we possess a spirit of forgiveness when we hand the issue with our husband or our wife, or anybody else for that matter, over to God, rather than sit around and nursing our grievances and taking occasion to even the score. That's the fallback position of so many. And that just leads to toxic bitterness, which ultimately does us more harm than anybody else. We know we possess a spirit of forgiveness when we pray for reconciliation with those who have mistreated us. Pray for them. Pray that we'll be able to be reconciled. That may be a husband, that may be a wife. Well, maybe it's all gone down. Maybe there's been a divorce already. And maybe you had biblical grounds. Maybe that spouse was unfaithful to you. Maybe a serial adulterer, whatever. But there comes a day when maybe they themselves become Christians, whatever it is. And they come and say, "I did you horrible wrong. I know we've gone our own ways. We'll never be married again, but I am sorry. I want you to know that." Or someone asked the other day, "Should I go to that wife and tell her how sorry I am I got involved with her husband?" Well, when we pray for reconciliation with those who have mistreated us, and we want to have that kind of spirit, we know that we possess a spirit of forgiveness. We know we possess a spirit of forgiveness when we refuse to retaliate and be vindictive. And we know we possess a spirit of forgiveness when we are ready to return good for evil. That is our spirit, that is our heart. And folks, when we have a spirit of forgiveness, we are always postured for the act of forgiveness. When those who have mistreated us, those who have wronged us, be it husband or wife, they stand up and they own the wrong they've done and they said it. Well, as I say, I've never had this in marriage. I've certainly been in this position in life, and I have to ask myself the same questions, been in this position in the ministry. And I have to ask myself these questions. I've got to have a spirit of forgiveness, because when I have a spirit of forgiveness, I'll always be in a position to act out forgiveness when those who seek forgiveness ask for it. What happens when a spirit of forgiveness reigns in us? I'll tell you, friends, there is first of all a sense of relief and release. It doesn't dissolve all of our problems with our spouse or with whoever, but it gives us a tremendous sense of relief and release. And it gives us a great conscience toward God, and that gives us a sense of relief and release. And also, joy in the Lord prevails. These things are not mutually exclusive, but they're kind of different sides of the same diamond. And our prayers are not hindered. There is no way that we can engage in honest prayer when our hearts are aboil with bitterness and all the toxicity that surrounds that sort of hate and malice toward those who have wronged us. And our service to God is not limited in that case when a spirit of forgiveness reigns in us. And our world is not narrowed by hate. Thank you, dear friends, for joining us on The Final Word. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about this program, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is info@thefinalwordradio.com. Our phone number is 503-699-9840. If this program has ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this outreach.